Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who haven't scored since 1958. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. We're up to episode 101. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
I'm great, Chris. I just got a package from Laramie Tunsil. Got some gas mask action going on up in here.
Oh, yeah. Pre-draft preparation. We're getting ready. It's a big week. A lot going on there. Today's show, we're going to talk about TJ Lang and his first presser. There's a lot of fun stuff there in this week in Reddit. A lot of other things going down. We're also going to be joined by Kent Platt to talk about his player evaluation tool, the RAS, Relative Athletic Scores. And we're going to engage in a little bit of draft talk as well. And finally, our man, the Riz, brings it all. He brings his own brand of draft shenanigans, and he's going to break down big picks, big possibilities in the first three rounds for our Detroit Lions. We got a great show lined up here. Case, you ready to go, my man?
Hang on, Chris. I just got to chug some water, you know, dilute that sample.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, time for a couple of quick announcements. First off, do not forget the Detroit Lions Podcast Draft Party on April 27th. It's going to kick off at 7:30 p.m., half hour before the draft starts. We're your friends at the draft. Just join us. Go to the website, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. There will be a link. We're going to stream live on YouTube from our YouTube channel. When you get there, make sure you give us a subscription. And we'll have some fun. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have some guests coming in. Riz will join us. Case, you know, the whole thing. We're going to have a great, great time. If you're alone, don't spend the draft alone. Don't be alone at the draft. It's never a good way to celebrate or lament the picks that your team makes and who falls and who doesn't fall to your team. So join us. DetroitLionsPodcast.com at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be streaming live via YouTube. Make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to everybody like Dylan from
Guam.
Yeah, Mike, Matthew, Eric, Lucas, Joel, Bert, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Rand, Ross, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, Matt G, Alex, and of course, our very first donor, Mathis. And of course, a couple of our latest patrons, Kaylin, Scott, Joel, and Greg. Thanks so much to all of you for helping us out. It's huge. It's really, really huge for us to keep the show going and pay for some of the stuff. We've had some major server hits, and because you guys were able to upgrade to a better, faster, stronger server to handle all that new traffic. So thank you guys so much. If you would like to be a patron and would like to help support the show, head on over to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Anything you can do, Patreon is a deal where you can set up a monthly donation, and literally $1, $2, $100, whatever you guys can spare on a monthly basis. We appreciate it. It all goes into the pot to help make this podcast better, faster, and stronger. A little peek ahead. We're going to commandeer a bar for training camp and do a live podcast from there. So we'll see you in Detroit, and you guys are all helping make this happen. So anyone that can help us out, as we said, there's also a place on the website, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You can just do a direct donation via PayPal. Make sure to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Or check us out on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. That's at DET Lions Podcast. It's the best place to see Case.
It is so wrong.
Ooh, very sexy. Make sure to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Pocket Cast, wherever you find us. Let people know what to expect when they come find us. Your reviews are awesome. And thank you to all of you folks that have already given us a review. We read every single one of them and appreciate them. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or give us a ring on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. Leave a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And let's kick it off. You know, last show, we talked about the preseason schedule release, and there was a lot of pomp and circumstance around that. Smaller news, they did release the regular season schedule. So I guess that means a little something.
Yeah, it's actually, I geek out on the schedule every year. It ultimately, you know, you have no idea how things are going to play out because you have no idea. Teams are going to get better and teams are going to get worse from year to year. Some of the things you think, you know, might be a problem with the schedule or a good thing about the schedule can easily flip-flop. But nonetheless, it really makes the new season feel real when you know what's going to happen on what week, where, and you know, how often you're going to get to see the team in prime time. And, you know, obviously there's conflicting views on how frequently we want to see the Lions in prime time. I've got a bit of
a schedule
breakdown.
Oh, breakdown.
Coming hopefully Thursday. So you can read that and get a little hyped up, while we're waiting for the draft to start. Hopefully I get that out on time. I guess we'll see. But basically some quick thoughts on the schedule situation. There's a few interesting things. It's a tough schedule. I mean, but we knew that because assuming there isn't a huge change in all these teams, which for all I know there will be, but we knew that the teams we were facing were going to be tough. So that's not a surprise. But there are some things that did, you know, go in our favor. For one thing, we don't have two away games in a row until weeks 14 and 15 in the season. It's basically every other week, almost the whole season of home and away.
You know, I love the way you look at stuff, Case, because when I saw that played out in the press, and we'll talk about the press a little bit later here in this Week in Reddit segment, but they played it as, they never have two home games in a row, right? Which is this, half full or half
cares?
Empty?
my feeling is that two away games is much, you know, a really bad situation. You don't need two home games in a row. What are you gaining by that? You know, I don't think you're gaining a significant, you know, amount of extra, you know, rest at home by doing it a second week. But especially a lot of times what happens with two away games is that they never come home. You know, they go from one, you know, that maybe they go from Baltimore to New England or whatever. Obviously that wouldn't happen in the NFC, but you get the point, like without ever going back home. And that, to me, that's a much bigger drain on guys, you know, emotionally and maybe in terms of other things like sleep and whatnot. So I think that's a good thing. Get the week 7 bye, which I mean, I like the byes, you know, the later the better. But week 7 isn't a bad week at all. It at least isn't week, you know, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a positive. We actually, our schedule gets theoretically again easier in the second half of the year, which is good. We don't have a stretch quite like we did this last year where we, you know, have Green Bay, Dallas, and New York Giants, three of the best teams in the league to finish out the season. So, I mean, again, I'll say this with the caveat that, you know, I didn't actually expect Dallas and Giants to be two of the best teams in the league, you know, going into next year. So things could change. It could end up, it could, you know, theoretically end up where the Bears, the Bengals, and Packers are all three top tier teams, but I don't see either the Bears or the Bengals as particularly dangerous this year.
You sure Mike Glennon isn't going to really put that team on his back there in Chicago?
Stranger things have happened.
Not that strange.
Yeah. You basically get a lot of chunks in there where you don't have too many really, really tough games in a row. You've got the Giants and then the Falcons. That's a tough pairing. But outside of that and the Steelers and Packers together, that's a tough pairing. Maybe the Ravens and Buccaneers together is a tough pairing. But it, all in all, basically what I'm saying is we don't have any like long stretches of several games in a row where I look at those teams and say we don't get a break from these top tier teams. So all in all, you know, I don't see the Lions having any long losing streaks this year beyond maybe two games. So I think that's a positive, because sometimes when you get in those losing streaks, it can be impossible to really veer out of. So
yeah, we've seen that in the past. No, I'm happy with the schedule for the most part this year. As you said, the off and on, home and away is good. It breaks it up a little bit. I think it helps chop up when you're on the downswing. But I think if you're on a winning streak, I don't think playing home or away and cycling like that is going to break that kind of focus and that kind of momentum that you carry through something like that. So I think it's good. I think the way that those things break up plays in this team's favor.
Yeah, the only other negative maybe that I have with this schedule is the Lions face, I think it's four teams coming off a bye, which it stinks. Win percentage coming off byes is slightly higher. It's almost not significant, but it is slightly higher for teams coming off a bye. And as a result of that, the Lions also have one of the worst rest differentials, which was something that got posted to the sub, and not something I'd ever heard of before. So it was actually kind of interesting. But that it just means that the teams we face will have longer rest coming into games overall over through the season than most other teams. But it's not, the margins aren't really that huge. So I'm not sure how much that actually matters. I would be surprised to see that correlate significantly to wins. So
sure. Now, one odd thing that comes out of this schedule, and maybe it doesn't mean anything, maybe it does, but this comes from Funny Penguin 97. What's up, Penguin? We have to face Adrian Peterson again. And I was pretty certain that he was out of my life. And I don't like him. I don't like him at all. Hopefully, I mean, look, as a person, as a football player, whatever, I don't want him to be hurt or anything, but I certainly don't want him to bounce back, at least against the Lions when we play those Saints, which it looks like he signed with. I don't want to see him on the field. I just don't want him in any form or fashion.
I would be, to anybody, I mean, I understand, because he's done some damage to us in the past, so like we're worried about him, but it would be shocking given the Saints situation if he's getting more than 10, 15 at most carries in a row. In a game. And so I don't expect to see him, you know, take over in any kind of way. I think he's more of a, you know, they run a running back by committee system, and they have a really good offense overall to begin with. So, I mean, it's not like, I don't think Peterson is the thing that gives them the advantage over us necessarily. They're going to be a very similar team to what they were last year when we beat them. We're not likely going to get three interceptions again, which was 30% of our total interceptions for the year against one team. But it's also going to be a game where, you know, it's likely to be a shootout regardless of who they've got in their backfield. So it doesn't worry me. I think the interesting thing is actually getting to watch the Vikings play the Saints on Monday night in the very first week.
For sure. And, you know, just kind of throwing out to the Reddit NFL podcast that I do with Riz, we have a segment that it's a memorial segment for Jeff Fisher. It's called the This Week in Mediocrity, and it's based all about 7-9 bullshit. And when you think about the Saints, 2014, 2015, and 2016, they went 7-9 every year. So I think maybe that the addition of your Adrian Peterson is just perpetuating that 7-9 bullshit.
Jumping to a different player who also change teams. We've got news coming out fairly frequently lately about TJ Lang and the things he's doing in Detroit with the team and whatnot. And it's all been, you know, very positive news. I mean, aside from the fact that he's going to miss OTAs because of the surgery he had on his hip, that was something they already knew about when they signed him. So that's not a surprise, but that he should be ready for training camp. But things like, you know, he's been giving the Lions a lot of information in terms of what the Packers have been doing against the Lions, giving them a lot of insight,
a lot of holding.
which Right. Which, I mean, you can, you know, this happens every year. Teams, you know, change, or players change teams. But for a guy who's been an integral part of their offense for as long as he is, you know, you'd expect his insight to be a little more significant. And hopefully it's hopefully it's something that actually has some legitimate impact, or at very least forces the Packers to have to change some things that they liked doing against us. So, you know, that kind of thing. He made a rather inappropriate joke about Aaron Rodgers getting up off his knees to shake the ref's hands, and that's why that's why he doesn't get penalized. So, or they don't get penalized.
I don't get it. Can you explain that more?
No, we're just going to leave that.
Yeah, I don't think it was a joke, though. But anyway, yeah,
no.
It's interesting. It is great to have a guy like him, and with his insight on the team, saw that after a week and a half, he was bonding pretty well with Stafford already. And look, if I'm Matthew Stafford, I'm buying that guy a steak dinner every night, because this is a player amongst this line that can change Stafford's game, which was hot last year, and it's only going to make it better.
He just seems super excited to be in Detroit, and the kind of attitude, the veteran, you know, attitude he has, I feel like he's might be the leader for the offensive line that they were kind of missing for a long time. We otherwise had a very young, you know, we'd had a very young offensive line, and Reef had never really been able to step into that role. Warford certainly didn't step into that role. So to have a guy, and, you know, I think maybe Ricky plays into this also, or I should say Rick. We got to get used to saying Rick. He doesn't like Ricky,
right.
To have this, you know, the veteran leadership in that group could be a huge part in making that line hopefully what it should have been when we started our youth movement there several years ago.
Yeah, for sure. And, you're right. He's really looking like he's going to take the mantle, and it's nice to have a veteran who wants to be in Detroit. And he said, I mean, you know, the right thing to say, obviously, is we want to bring a Super Bowl to Detroit. We want to bring this team to the top. You have to say that, you know, when you're going to play in Detroit. But he's a Detroiter. He lives here and has lived here. And I believe him much more when I say it. And his actions and his words are bearing out that maybe those aren't just hollow thoughts. So it's really cool. I'm excited to see TJ and what he's going to bring to this team. On the other side, there's also the part where not only did you pick up a great player, but you're denying a great player to another team. And Jay Sanctus posts about the Packers coaches being quite angry that Teddy Thompson did not sign TJ back to the team. And I'm kind of happy that not only did we get this upgrade and this great kind of committed player, but we pissed off the competition in Green Bay. I couldn't be happier. That's like the best of all worlds.
I mean, it definitely sounds like the coaches felt that he was incredibly important to that unit. And you know, we have to kind of hope that because of that, their unit doesn't have it doesn't have that, you know, the leadership that it seems to imply playing brought to that group. And that they struggle without him. So,
yep, for sure. There's always hope. All right, moving on. We got we had a segment for quite a few weeks in a row last year, and then we kind of went away from it a little bit. But it's still good, and it's highly, highly relevant now, highly topical. It's This Week in Clickbait. And Case, I think you can articulate this the best, so I'm going to hand you the microphone and let you go to town.
Yeah, well, and we've railed against bad journalism so frequently. We maybe have occasionally been, you know, part of the problem too when we say dumb things, but I mean,
we own it, right?
And
I don't think, and I'm going to just really quick, we don't say dumb, inflammatory things to be dumb and inflammatory, right? We are, when we say something dumb, we're truly idiots. I mean, we're truly stupid in that moment.
That is a good way to put it.
So go ahead. I think that kind of is the difference.
there's the Detroit Free Press has a writer, and I'm not even going to say his name,
Carlos,
who has taken over a role that was somewhat vacated by Drew Sharp, of being that
troglodyte,
you know, mouthpiece for the
negativity,
the troll. I mean, it is the, you know, it, not to, you know, be cliche about it, but it's the troll, you know. Anyways, and I would encourage you, if you think that has no real value, which, because I don't, I think it does nothing but, you know, embolden the dumbest among us. Just don't click. Don't go there. He doesn't care whether you like or hate his articles.
Or him.
Just cares that you click.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't go there. Don't post it to the sub. Don't, you know, just, I don't want to, the boycott sounds so harsh, but like, yeah, okay, do that. So
don't feed the troll, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the word, and that's
it's not
the
complicated
thing. And you can make change by not feeding trolls. You know, mm-hmm. Skip Bayless is a great example of, and he is partially really as stupid as he sounds, but partially it's part of the shtick and part of the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Getting
people, he wasn't actually always that way. I mean, he used to, like, before he started this shtick, he was a respected journalist. That was many years ago, but
yeah, many. but you know, that whole thing is just, why do you do it? Well, he does it because news has changed a bit with the advent of the internet. There's a lot of great things that have happened, and there's a lot of other things that have happened that maybe aren't as great. And clicks drive everything. If you deny them the clicks, the shtick will change. That's the bottom line and the simplest way to put it. All right. We want to do a quick shout out to a guy named Minty Pork Chop. He posted on the subreddit, big thank you to everybody. He's stuck in the hospital. And here it is, recording Tuesday night. He's stuck in the hospital till Friday. And he's got some tests he's got to get done. And he's got to be sleep deprived for all of these tests. So, like, he can't drink caffeine. He's just got to be freaking miserable. So he was thanking the sub for being there for him, giving him, you know, stuff to read and engaging him and all the great memes and the danktitude, as he said. And you know, we just thought, you know, let's give him a shout out on the podcast. He's going through a little bit of a tough time. Nobody enjoys being tired like that. And nobody enjoys being in the hospital. So we wanted to put out a little bit of a special dedication. It's a historical record, but a very famous person is joining us to do a dedication for our man, Minty Porkchop.
Now, we're up to our long distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week.
That's creepy.
It's a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
So hopefully, Minty Porkchop, you're a little better off than Snuggles the dog, but we just wanted to give you a shout-out and hope everything's going okay, and enjoy your week of physical rest, but no sleep. And then for all you people who have gotten the right amount of sleep and enjoy your video gaming, get ready, because we have a huge, huge contest kicking off in May. We're going to be giving away a $200 lag-busting NetDuma router. If you haven't seen one of these things, you don't know what you're missing. As a guy who's a very dedicated gamer, I've seen massive changes in the quality of my gaming experience as a result of buying this router. And I went out and contacted him and said, I need you guys as a sponsor. because this thing is kick ass and I want people to know about it. So worked with them and we've got a great sponsorship from NetDuma. And I'm telling you, I've got a pretty extensive network here. I've got a number of other routers that are kind of layered beneath this router, a whole bunch of stuff set up like that that I won't go into too deep, but it does the trick perfectly. Works with any cable, internet, DSL, Fios provider, and gives you the ability to control who you're connecting with, how far away you're connecting, the quality of the connection to ensure that you get the very, very best gaming experience. You can portion your internet. So if you've got a brother, a sister, a wife who's using too much internet, you can turn their connection down a little and steal that for yourself and do a couple other things to make sure that you're getting the very, very best internet experience. It's from NetDuma, netduma.com. Make sure if you go buy one, which I highly recommend, you use the keyword or the coupon code football. They give us credit for that. You get a big discount for using that keyword, and they give us a little kickback, so that's a nice thing. But they're also stepping up, and in the month of May, here, starting next week, we're going to have a huge NetDuma giveaway. It's a $200 value. Somebody's going to come away with this sweet-ass router. So be ready, and in the meantime, I'm telling you, go set yourself up with one. Even if you win one, you can sell it and get your money back. It is the best. NetDuma.com, keyword football. All right, moving on. Let's go into, we got a retirement that came up this last week. A big favorite. I know one of Maple D's favorite players of all time. I mean, he's in the top five for sure. Steven Tulloch is leaving, and he had quite an emotional press conference to announce it.
Yeah, and I'm a big Steven Tulloch fan also. Between his last few years in Tennessee and his first few years in Detroit, I really think that he was a very underrated player. Probably one of the best inside 4-3 linebackers, middle linebackers in the league. It's not a well-respected position, and still isn't. But obviously, we've seen, you know, these last couple of years, what happens when you're weak at that middle linebacker position. And for that exact reason, that's why I feel that he never got the respect he deserved. He was solid, if not spectacular, in pass coverage, and he was great against the run. He was super reliable. You never had to worry too much about him, allowing huge plays to go by him. He just was where he needed to be 99% of the time. And, I've certainly, we can laugh about the injury he had, but at the same time, it was really like, it's too bad. It was a dumb move, but he was also just really unlucky. And, it's hard to, it's easy to make fun of a guy, but he lost his livelihood by kind of a dumb luck, thing. And that sucks.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I can't knock on him at all because, like, remember when who was it that did the Tebow that Tebow kneel down deal?
Cliff Averill.
Yeah, Cliff Averill did it. He sacked Tim Tebow and did it. I was like, yeah. Had he blown out an ACL when he did that?
Right.
It'd been the same kind of thing. You got Tully doing the discount double check on Aaron Rodgers. It's like, yeah, and then it's like, wait, what? No, it's just shitty. Shitty timing and that type of injury, right? Those things happen. It isn't because he got it tweaked. It just something just wrong happened at that moment. It could have happened the play before. Mm-hmm. It could have happened the play after, right? It's not because of that. It's just crappy timing and crappy optics on it. But yeah, it sucks that he lost his division. And, in one way, 15 years from now, when he looks back on his playing years, he's going to be able to say, you know what? My career, it may have ended, but it ended with me making fun of one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So, there's something to be said for that. So,
yeah.
All right. Got something else going on here. Great, great post. One of the best I've seen in years from Honolulu Blue Balls. The king is still the king, but we got to show some love. And it was actually just a list of Lions podcasts. And we were very, very soundly and securely the number one podcast, as we've talked about. And you can see there we're tops. But I don't want to ball walk too much, at risk of discount double checking my ACL or someone else. But it's you guys, the listeners, that have pushed us there. I mean, we work hard on the show and we do our best to make an entertaining quality show for you guys. But you guys have to burn calories to download it and listen. So thank you all very, very much. And thanks, Honolulu Blue Balls, for putting up there and just kind of helping us feel good about ourselves a little bit, A lot of work, especially this week. We've got a lot of shows going on. The live show is going to be 5-6 hours of talking. It's going to be crazy. But that kind of appreciation really makes us feel good. So thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely, Chris. You guys are the best. The love you've shown us, you know, in the subreddit and on Twitter and everything else has been, you know, it's humbling. I think maybe Chris lets it go to his head, but
for sure. I did, yeah.
But speaking of you know, a popular thing on the show, I'm sure that the next time we do a regular podcast like this, there'll be a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah.
But at the moment, there just isn't. So this week, we are going to skip going
around the division.
We're going to skip it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about AP. That's the only big news in the division. I guess Jay Cutler isn't retiring.
He's not?
But
where's he going to be?
I don't know. He hasn't signed anywhere, but he isn't retiring.
He's retiring.
Theoretically.
No, he wants to take color.
That's the news I've got. So,
all right. Thank you for not taking us around the division. And really quick, you guys, just to kind of talk about some of the other stuff that's going on. Don't forget, I saw a couple of you have done this, and if I was wise and a good marketeer, I probably would have said something last show. But, you know, those new jerseys were announced, and you know you can go get those. And there's a lot of people that are going out and getting theirs early. And you get them from Fanatics, but don't just go to Fanatics, right? It's the official gear, but get there through DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Come on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on that shop link on the menu, and head over to Fanatics to get your Lions gear. It's the official stuff. It's great, top quality gear. They've got all the new, the throwbacks, the new aways, the whole deal available. As the draft is coming now, it's a great opportunity. They're going to roll out some of the new players' jerseys to get. Please remember to come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and use that shop link to go get that stuff. They give us a little kickback. It doesn't cost you anything more, but it's a great way to support the show. And also any of your Amazon purchases that you're going to do. You know, I've pretty much gone exclusively to Amazon shopping now. I will not leave the house to fight people at the malls or wherever else. And same kind of thing. Head over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that shop link and then use the link there to go to Amazon. They give us a kickback. And sometimes you get a little discount actually for using that link based on how many people we refer. So appreciate everybody who's doing that as well. And then lastly, same place on the website, there's a link to get your seats. From SeatGeek, any kind of concerts, any kind of theater, any kind of shows, any kind of sporting events, you're going to get your tickets from SeatGeek at the DetroitLionsPodcast.com link there under shop. And again, same thing. They give us a kickback, and it's pretty cool. That's how I got my Lions tickets, actually, when I went to the Thanksgiving game last year. And I got to pick where I was going to sit. And as a kind of little maybe clue for some of you guys, I'm going to be going to the Tampa game as one of the games this year, and I'm going to get my tickets the same way. So these are three great ways to support the show by doing something you are going to do anyway.
Are you ready to get schooled? It's time for Risden's Wisdom with the Riz, Jeff Risden.
All right, look who's on the line. You know who it is. It's the Riz, Jeff Risden, senior NFL draft writer for DraftBreakdown.com and RealGM.com. He's also managing editor at the USA Today wire sites for the Cleveland Browns, Houston Texans, and he's an amazing co-host on this super cool podcast, the Reddit NFL podcast. It is Jeff. How you doing, Riz?
It's nice to be with you. It's draft week. This is, oh man, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I can't wait to find out what happens on Thursday. I'm so excited.
We definitely are excited as well. And we have you on here today to kind of give us that last little bit of insight here on who you think.
Can I say
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say it? Draft extravaganza.
Draft extravaganza. Yes. Yes. Who you think the Lions might be either targeting in the first few rounds, and or who you think is a good fit for the Lions in the first few rounds. So
yeah, we can do that.
starting at 21, which is a lower pick than we're accustomed to.
That's a good thing, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. How do you see things shaping up? And maybe if there's a couple different ways you could see it coming together.
All right. I have been convinced for a long time that their ideal optimal pick is Hassan Reddick, the, mm-hmm. the linebacker from Temple. Mm-hmm. And the more I love that drop, the more I poke around and get information, and I'm working on my final mock draft as we're recording this on Tuesday night. And I'm actually past the Lions pick already. So I won't spoil that, but I will say that every information that I got back from people that I asked, and I if you could see the DMs on my Twitter right now and my text, you'd wonder.
Trump motherfuckers? Oh, direct messages. Got it. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's some of that going on too. Yeah.
A little column A,
some of
B.
them are. Yeah, exactly. So I didn't get anybody who thought that Reddick would be there. This is with over 25
that's what
people.
I'm seeing too. So yeah. I see a lot of Cardinals. I see a lot of, you know, in mid teens.
Yeah,
even earlier sometimes. So
in my final mock, he's at number 11 to the Saints.
Yeah,
and I think that's fairly realistic. So I'm going to cross him off here. I do not think the Lions are in any position to move up in this draft. I don't think that's something that Bob Quinn would ever entertain for one player. Not in this draft. Not when the divide between who you can get at 10 and who you can get at 50 is very slim in terms of overall talent. It's all about fit this year. And I think because of that, that does play to some advantage for the Lions in that there's a lot of teams that pick like from like 5 to 18 whose needs don't necessarily match up with what they have. So they're going to take other positional players. And I think that's going to leave the Lions – I don't think Derek Barnett, I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. I think he's going to Cincinnati at 9. If he's on the board, I do, and Reddick is gone, obviously. I think he's probably the pick, but I really don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And now Reuben Foster is one.
That's what I was going to ask.
There you go. And he's tough because the information that I have on how they think about him comes from Indianapolis. When they were the first team that he was scheduled to meet with before he pulled his, do you know who I am? And tried to beat up the person who was you know, trying to collect his urine. And it turns out that he had good reason to do that because his urine wasn't clean. So how do the Lions feel about a guy who's a 224-pound linebacker who's had 3 concussions and 2 stingers documented in his time in Alabama? That's something that I don't think gets brought up enough. This is a guy that he went down in a game as a freshman. They thought he was paralyzed. So that's something that I don't think gets brought up enough. At 224 pounds, he's at least 15 pounds lighter than what they want for the position that he will play, which is the old Stephen Tulloch role.
Yeah.
So I and with all the, there's some character background issues that are fairly unsubstantiated, but also fairly virulent. And I'm going to think that the Lions are going to pass on that. Just there's too much there that says, don't pick me. Now if you watch
he's
him
a
on
high risk pick.
Yes, exactly. If you watch him
he's
on the field,
a high reward pick.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That you summed up what I was mumbling there. So sorry. For that.
Quit looking over his shoulder at those notes. Jeez.
I like the succinctness. That's good.
So I'm going to nailed for the next podcast.
Yes. Yes. So I'm going to say no, but keep it in the hopper. and if they can trade back, and I think they will definitely have their phones on, ready to listen when they're on the clock. I don't think anything's going to come of it, but if they are, then I think when they move back, then he's a little bit less of a risk, especially if they can get another pick that's in the second or third round where they can add another guy of comparable talent level.
Let me ask you this, because there's a team that doesn't even have a pick until the third round, I believe, in the New England Patriots. And they, you know,
they just got rid of another one of those too.
Yeah. The connection there, and we've seen it. We've seen them, you know, talking players. We see, you know, them working out together and stuff in the preseason. It just seems like that is, if I was going to look at somebody who needs a pick in a higher round and might be willing to trade for it, the Patriots might be a good partner for that.
They could be. I don't know what they would have to offer, though. Their prime trading chip is Jimmy Garoppolo. The Lions have no use for him.
No. Yeah. Yeah, so and it's not like the Patriots have any desperate needs that they're trying to fill in this draft either, in my opinion.
No, they've done that. That's why they traded for Coney Ealy and Brandon Cooks and signed Mike Gillisley and gave away a third-round pick to Buffalo, a division rival, by the way, to mm-hmm. get their Buffalo's backup running back. How do you think Buffalo feels about that now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those are good points. Good points. I just don't see another partner that really lines up for them. And if maybe the Patriots had a second rounder to trade, but I got to think they want to climb up. I mean, it's going to be hard. You know, you want to build your teams out of the draft. And if you don't get to start till the third round, that makes it pretty hard.
If somebody wants to jump ahead of the Giants in the thought that the Giants might take a quarterback, that's, in my eyes, probably the most likely scenario. I don't think it's likely, but
I'm kind of with you on that. I do think Kansas City would have some interest if Patrick Mahomes is falling.
Yeah,
and he might. And if he does, then I do think that Kansas City is a team that could be, you know, looking to move around a little bit, because I do think I've heard from a lot of people that their love of Patrick Mahomes is very real. Will that happen? Will anything come of it? We'll find out Thursday. But that's probably your best trade partner from above. I'm trying to think who else is higher up that would like the Texans. They're not moving up. They would love to move back from 25, especially if the two guys that they really want are gone. And I have a feeling that will happen. Yeah, it's tough to see any trade. So then you're like, okay, we got Foster. Corey Davis, I think, is a real possibility. I know that people, especially in Michigan, and you know, I'm going to be at a draft party in Kalamazoo across the street from where he played. It's tough to say that he is the best wide receiver in this draft, and I agree with that, but also that the best wide receiver in this draft isn't worth the number 21 pick in the draft. And I also agree mm-hmm. with that take. He's going to be a fine wide receiver, and he would be a nice blend with Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. The problem that I have is that we're going to have the same expectation issues for him that we have with Eric Ebron right now. When Golden Tate and Marvin Jones are both gone in 2019, and that's a very realistic possibility, and you're relying on Corey Davis and a bunch of other guys, I don't think Davis is talented enough to carry that. He's not Calvin Johnson. He's not Julio Jones. And I kind of think that the Lions see it that way as well. And again, I'm basing this on older information that I have from the team. It's not anything that I've talked to them about in at least a couple of months. But during the season and shortly after the season ended, when I talked to them about Corey Davis, their thought was that he's going to be overvalued. And I'm going to stick with that.
I just want to read something from one draft profile on Corey Davis that I think, you know, should resonate. Has some issues with focus drops on throws outside of his frame. So we all know what name comes to mind when we talk about focus drops. So it's definitely a scenario that would be a little scary for that same reason.
But he's a better option than the next name I'm going to get to, and this is the name that nobody wants to hear, David Njoku.
Yeah. Nobody does. And somehow everybody is mocking him to us.
Well, and that's because people from the outside, A, don't hate Eric Ebron nearly as much as the Detroit fans do. Mm-hmm. B, they see what I've laid out in the past, that Eric Ebron, if he doesn't get extended, they've got nothing at tight end, and that's simply unacceptable. You've got a deep tight end draft here. I'll be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if they drafted two tight ends this year. They need to, especially if Ebron is not in the long-term plans, or if, as I've said on some other podcasts in the last couple of days, Eric Ebron this year is Anquan Boldin last year. And I think that's a very real possibility. And if you factor that in and you take David Njoku, who now I think he's a second round talent. He's number 47 overall on my board. So I don't think this is good value at all, but they've done that before with Laken Tomlinson, who was, he was the 28th pick, and he was the 56th player on my board. So they've doubled down before, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but you know,
I'll tell you the talk that they have interest in Njoku is very real. Very real.
Hmm. I was just thinking on the Lake and Tomlin thing.
Sorry to bring that up.
Yeah. That's
let me get another jar full of razor blades and lemon juice.
I'm gonna gargle before I swallow. That's not really exciting for me at all. And I probably would have the same reaction I did when we picked Ebron. Just not nice. Hopefully some idiot grabs him first. But I mean, you look at Lakin Tomlinson, we all know what happened there, but just to push on him on a little sidebar, you know, we kept talking throughout the year that we hope that in the offseason he kind of has a Travis Swanson kind of resurgence. The more I think about it, the less I think that's going to happen. I mean, I hope, but that doesn't happen every year. You don't see that kind of,
no,
you just don't. It's not going to happen. The chances of this happening are just so small. And you kind of apply that here and you say, do you want to go through this again? And I don't think at a different position, I don't think anybody does.
I think there's a very real chance he doesn't make the team this year, one way or another. It could be that they trade him. I don't think the trade will happen this week. But I think if Joe Dahl shows enough and Graham Glasgow shows enough in camp, they'll ship Tomlinson away. He's still got enough, you know, draft, you know, backing that mm-hmm. somebody will give something for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's. Yeah, that's a tough one. So Njoku is clearly Mr. Unpopular with Detroit, and I think that would be the pick that would draw the most hate.
Ah, that would hurt Quinn's draft stock amongst fans.
It would, and my problem with it is that you're setting this guy up to fail with the people who are going to be judging him.
Yep,
and now that's, you know, the fans shouldn't matter as much in this as what we are talking about here, but they do to some extent. And I think they do to the Lions more than a lot of other franchises, because the Ford family cares very much about their public perception. And I know that Lions fans now are like, you've got to be freaking kidding me, dude.
Yeah.
But they really do. And I think they've done so many things with Rod Wood coming in and with all the things that they've tried to do to improve the fan experience. I don't think they want to give that goodwill away by making a pick that they know everybody it will hate and it will be wildly unpopular and will weigh on the young man. He's 20. He's not even 21 years old yet, I don't think. That's asking a lot for a young guy who's fairly new to football. You know, he's a good but not great athlete. I think that was one of the findings at the combine. I actually thought when I was on in Indy, when he didn't test like a madman like everybody thought he would, that it would sort of be the end of him as a first round candidate, but that didn't happen. So if you don't want David Njoku, here's two things you want to root for. You want Tampa Bay to get him at 19. And that means that Dalvin Cook is off the board, and I don't think that's going to happen. Or you want the Giants at 20 to take him, and for that to happen, you need the top two offensive linemen, which are Garrett Bowles and Forrest Lamp, to be off the board. And I kind of don't think that's going to happen. So I would put it at a fair chance that he's not even there, and this whole discussion is moot, and that would be fantastic. We'd all be happy about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so one last guy in the first round who I've seen popping up a lot more recently and who I actually like, and we can maybe talk about that at another time, on Thursday leading up to the actual draft, why I like him, but is Jerod Davis, linebacker.
That's who I have in number 21 at my final mock draft.
I'm a good predictor.
You are. It's like you've got spyware. Are you looking through this computer on me? Well, we are doing this on Skype, but the camera's covered. God.
I am the government.
I'm going to go back to the Ukraine now.
I'm going
to
put my pants back on.
Might get in the scare away. Yeah. Okay. Jerod Davis. That's who I think the Lions are going to take. Now, this is subject to change. I have until tomorrow night at midnight to turn this bad boy in.
I've spoiled it for you.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I don't worry about that at all. I think the fact that he did so well with his medical examination mm-hmm. said a lot for him, because on the field, he was a top 20 talent. But the worry was, can this guy stay on the field? And mm-hmm. and all the indications that I got when I was in Indianapolis and with people that I've talked to afterwards that are around the Florida program and know both him and the what he's gone through there, say that, yes, he's fine. He's no more of an injury risk than anybody else. He's less of a risk than a guy like Reuben Foster or Dalvin Cook with the injuries. So he is the person that I centered in on. He is a linebacker who can play with one or two other linebackers around him, and he's got the ability to play either spot in the nickel. He can be on the strong side or the weak side, with the tight end, without the tight end. He can carry the tight end to the safety in coverage. He's pretty good in zone coverage already. He's got the ability to have one eye on the receiving and the action that's coming at him, and one eye on the quarterback, so he can sort of read the play. He's very good at that. I struggle with finding a comparison for him that the Lions fans would grasp, because he's not like Levy, he's not like Tulloch, he's not like Mr. Van Noy. He's not.
Is he Chris more Spielman. Of a like Eric Kendricks type of guy?
He's bigger, and I think he's better than Kendricks, and I like Kendricks. One of the guys that came up is that he's like a much taller, bigger DeQuell Jackson, if you guys remember him from when he was good in Cleveland and when he was sort of good in Indianapolis. He was only 5'9" and a half, and Jarrod Davis is 6 foot. So there's a size difference there, but stylistically he plays that same sort of thing. And now DeQuell got slow and in the last 3 or 4 years of his career couldn't cover at all and had to get off the field because he was a complete liability. Early on in his career, he was better at that. And I think that's where Davis is.
Davis, the one word that, you know, that I think I love above anything else when I'm talking about linebackers is instinct. And yes. I've heard good things about his instincts, and that's almost enough right there to sell me. So
I'm happy with it. Now then, he's a guy that a lot of people think was, even a couple of weeks ago, was going in the 30s or 40s. And I actually had him to the Lions in the second round of a mock draft not all that long ago. Mm-hmm. So,
but he blew up his pro day, and that really
he did. He really did. And the Lions were at his pro day. So there you go.
There you go.
All right. Making their floor. I'll give you just a couple other names that we probably should know.
Okay.
Just on the offhand that it happens. I do think Tack McKinley is a somewhat outside possibility. I don't think he'll be the pick, and it surprises me that I'm saying that he's a possibility, because he just had shoulder surgery. He's not going to be available until at least the end of training camp, and probably into the preseason and perhaps into the season. It's the same surgery that Shaq Lawson had last year. Lawson missed exactly 6 months to the day, came back and wound up playing pretty well after he had the surgery. But you know, that time missed, I don't think the Lions are willing to do that with a pass rusher who's he's fairly stiff in the hips. Now they have some other guys who have been stiff in the hips. Kerry Hyder is certainly stiff in the hips.
Sorry.
Are you all right there?
I'm like 12. He's singing Shakira. I'm 12. So. He's stiff in the hips, and my mind goes to 12-year-old things. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Move on.
That's okay. I'm very confident they're not taking a running back. I think the other pass rusher that you have to look at is Charles Harris. And I don't like Charles Harris at all. I think he's a third round, maybe a fourth round talent for me. Part of it is the fact that he comes from a Missouri program that churns out overrated pass rushers who are really good at one specific thing. And when that one specific thing gets shut off, they don't have any ability to do anything else. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in time again. The only guy who really doesn't fit that bill is Coney Ealy. And you know, it was funny because he was like lesser regarded than Shane Ray or Michael Sam for a while. And he's wound up being the only, I guess Shane Ray's doing okay in Denver. That's easy to do when you have Von Miller on one side and DeMarcus Ware on the other, and you get to come in and, you know, be the spare tire. So I do think that Charles Harris is, I think he's a outside shot. I happen to think he's going to be gone as well, and that would make me very happy because that pushes a much better player down for the Lions for later.
For sure. Sure. All right, you ready to move on to the second round?
Yeah,
let's do that. Let's dive in. Second round talents, and let's talk about how we're going to get the Njoku replacement.
Oh, boy. So the second round, okay, assuming you have taken Davis in the first round. If they don't, there's two linebackers in the second round that make sense to some extent. That's Raekwon McMillan is one, the guy from Ohio State. And I think that's right about the range where he's going to come off the board. And I would be happy with him as a second round pick. And I'm trying to think where I had this written down.
Is there any chance that Cunningham would fall?
Thank you. That's God, Case. You are in my head tonight, buddy. I owe you, sir.
This is starting. Yes, to creepy. This is getting really creepy.
Yeah, he's the other one, and I do think he'll be there. I don't think the NFL values off-ball linebackers who are, you know, don't make tackles for loss and don't blitz well. I don't think they value those guys very highly. Mm-hmm. The flip side of this, I don't think the Lions do either. Although they need one.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, God, it would be just to, you know, picture this scenario. If we ended up with Davis and Cunningham, all of a sudden, like, we can relegate Whitehead and Warlow and make sure their depth and all of a sudden our linebacking core looks pretty damn good. But
yeah, especially since they're going to play with just two linebackers most of the time.
Right.
If the goal is to keep Paul Warlow off the field, and that should be the goal, I'm for that. I'm down. I do have to say, I do think Antoine Williams is going to play a bigger role than fans expect.
Sure.
And so we'll stay with that.
That'd be great.
Yeah. You know what? I forgot Taco in the first round.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah,
Michigan fans. He's going to be the mock draft pick a lot. I've heard mixed things from all over the place. I know there are teams that don't think he's a top 50 talent. I also know there are teams that think he's a top 15 talent. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen with Taco Charlton. And the information here is dated, not like super dated, but it's at least 6 weeks old since I talked to these people. At that point, the Lions liked other guys who did the same things more than Taco. So you can't rule him out, but you're going to see that. In fact, I would guess he's going to be one of the three most common mocked players if you
sure
look at the thousands of mock drafts that will be coming out in the next couple of days. Look at mine, please.
Yeah, and I think about him, and you talked about the fan reaction. The local fan reaction would probably be positive because you have Michigan fans, but that doesn't last. He would have to be able to play at that level, and mm-hmm. I agree. I don't know that he's the guy. Now let me go back though to the idea of the linebackers first and second round. If that's the case, if that just kind of happens, what does that do for our defense? Does that take some of the pressure off the line and some of the pressure off our corners and safety?
Oh yeah, it does. Especially the safeties. I think it gives the safeties a whole lot more freedom. Because the number one problem that the Lions defense last year was that the linebackers had no range and could not cover. And if the linebackers can do that, that frees Glover Quinn to play a little bit more
loose. Pick up his interception numbers again.
Bingo. God, Case, you were in my head, buddy. Yes.
Well, I think I've said, you know, Quinn, I don't think Quinn had a down year. He's an opportunistic player, and they just, because the dink and dunk worked so well against us, the teams didn't have to, you know, take any risky moves against us and took away his opportunities.
So, totally with you on that. So now we're in the second round.
And that's the one area that makes the whole defense better, right?
Yes. And if they do that, then they don't need to draft a safety at any point in this draft. Mm-hmm. I still think they'd take a corner, probably a taller corner, right, than a guy who's taller than Nevin Lawson, and probably a guy who can run a little bit faster than Nevin Lawson on the outside. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of those guys that are going to be available on Saturday in the draft.
Yeah,
they're not all that skilled, but and the Lions have kicked the tires on a lot of those guys, so that wouldn't surprise me if we see a day three cornerback.
Yep,
I don't think they're going to take one before then. Although the second round, if they're going to, is the place where they would do it. And I think a couple of the names that we should know are Marlon Humphrey from Alabama, and I don't think he'll be there. I think he's going to be gone. And he is he played hurt last year. He had a high ankle sprain for a while, and he had a little bit of a groin, and it hurt his speed, and he got beat over the top a lot. But when he tests and when he ran healthy, I mean, he was the fastest guy on their defense. So I think that was more of an anomaly. And I think the Lions think that too. And I think some other teams think that too. That's why I don't think he'll be there. If he's there, he will be the best player on the board for them. I don't care who else is there. But that's unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
The other name that's weird here that I didn't think was going to be here is Jabril Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
With his snafu, the price of clean urine. Apparently, he I'll say this about Jabril Peppers, and I know somebody who works out with him. That guy is so meticulous about what he puts into his body. I would be stunned if he tested positive for a substance that he didn't take. I do believe the excessive hydration issue in this case.
Mm-hmm. And he said he was ill. Which may have been a factor in overdoing the water. So,
yeah, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a hydrologist.
I am lucky. I'm here.
I'm also not a drug user, so I don't know how much water I need to dilute things out of my system.
Oh, I am lucky. I'm
just going to keep my mouth shut on this one.
Yeah, but what has happened with him is it's created another with the Reuben Foster situation. He's given teams another reason to look at somebody else. Yeah. And I think where he would fall at the worst is around where Detroit is picking. And he is a safety, but he's a much better safety than Tavon Wilson is. Mm-hmm. And I do think that he would have a lot of appeal to the Lions. Aside from the fact he's an elite return specialist. If nothing else, I think Adoree Jackson is probably a little bit rated higher as a return specialist in this draft. Peppers is certainly good at that. And he's an instigator. And he's a guy. The thing is, he does play the same role as Miles Killebrew, and the team does like what Miles Killebrew did last year. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of odd, but thought I'd throw the Michigan fans a little bone there. Since we were talking about Taco, we should talk about Peppers too, because those Peppers. Things. They what typically about, go together nicely.
What about Tease Tabor?
He's not going before Saturday.
Okay.
Nobody's taking a 4.7 corner with bad attitude.
Sure.
See, just seems like that should be overlooked. I don't know why.
I mean, he will still tell you that he's the best corner in the draft, and the stopwatches were broken. I mean, at some point, he needs to wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah.
Black Rifle coffee.
Oh, my God. Good
coming back. Coming back as a sponsor next month. Congratulations to all our winners. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Check it out.
That wasn't planned, by the way.
That was not planned. A smooth
transition by Chris. Okay. What are some other positions that might get hit in the second
round? This is pass rush territory. This is Derek Rivers out of Youngstown State. This is Tano Passanio out of Villanova, though I think he's incredibly redundant with Devin Taylor, and I think they will see that too. If they don't take a tight end, I think Adam Shaheen, the tight end from Ashland, is awfully rich for me to take him here. And you guys know that I've pimped this guy. And I'm a D2. I live in Gliac country. I love the conference. I promote these guys the heck out of them. This is too high for him. But again, there is a very critical long-term need at tight end for this team with the uncertainty around Eric Ebron. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get addressed sooner than later in this draft. And I would prefer that if they're going to do that, that they would take like Evan Engram is a guy that I really like at tight end. A lot of the other guys that are tight ends in that range, I don't really care for. I would prefer to wait another round. And if you're going to take a guy like Gerald Everett or I don't know, some of the other guys, So that's a possibility. I don't think they're looking wide receiver there. The second round is a weird spot for receivers in this draft. I think the sweet spot for those is the third and fourth round. Now, if a guy like Zay Jones is there, and I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's the fourth receiver off the board. And I think that'll happen in the 30s. And then I think you're going to see a drought for a while. I hope they don't have an interest in Juju Schuster-Smith or Smith-Schuster. The guy, when Sam Darnold wasn't in, he was terrible. And I worry that quarterback-dependent receivers scare me. We've seen those guys before. I don't want anything to do with those guys again.
Yeah, for sure.
Curtis Samuel fits in that bill, too. He's got a lot of love changing from running back to wide receiver. I can see him being a successful NFL wide receiver, and he can fly in the open field. But I want somebody else to make the transition pains with that. I don't want to be the first team that gets him. I want to get him in 4 years when he's disappointed or underwhelmed on his first contract, and then you seal him when he's finally ready to play the new position. Mm-hmm. That's my general strategy. TJ Watt, if he's there, and I tend to think that the talk where he was going to be at 21 and even at 29 in Green Bay, I don't think that's realistic. All of the big wig people that are connected have him in the middle of the second round, and I'm going to defer to them on this. And I do think he's a real possibility if he's on the board. Because he can play, and he can also drop and give you multiple looks. And he can play gimmick games with Davis in the middle. And he's not necessarily a linebacker. Ideally, he's a 3-4 outside linebacker. And I do think that's where he's going to wind up. But if he's there, heck yeah. I mean, I know the Lions like him. I know they have him rated higher than what this draft slot would be.
Yeah.
So that would be fun.
Yeah.
I'm not betting against the Watt family.
You had mentioned a position there that we hadn't talked about yet. And it's not actually my favorite position to talk about, but we probably should. Do you think there's any chance that we're mixing there, that they go that way?
He will be gone. He will be Cincinnati's pick in the second round. You won't have to worry about it.
Sure.
I do. If we'll do the hypothetical, no, I don't think they'd take him.
Sure.
I don't think they value running back that high.
Okay. That's interesting, just because of, you know, we'd heard that they'd had, you know, their scouts at, you know, basically every running backs. But at the same time, if they were looking at all the, you know, the running backs they were expecting in later rounds, that would still mean that would not mean they're looking to go second round with it. It just mean they're looking to go at it some time.
Yeah. And again, this is a middle heavy draft, and the running back class fits that exception. From this second round pick through the fourth round pick, one, you're going to get the same talent level basically at either spot, and I think the Lions recognize that and will wait. You can get a guy like Kareem Hunt or Jamal Williams or I'm spacing on these names. Sorry, it's been a long week.
Case, pull it out.
No, Alvin
Kamara is a guy I don't like, but I think he fits in there as well. Dante Foreman out of Texas was the name I was trying to think of in the fourth round. I think is a very good fit for the Lions, and I'm not a Deontay Foreman fan. He reminds me too much of Ron Dane, but if you want a between the hedges pile mover, he has the size for it. That's not his style, but I get that in theory. So I don't think they're going running back early here. Maybe in the next round, maybe in the third round, we can talk a little bit about a couple of guys there. But I think it's a day three thing, an early day three thing for them.
Sure.
All right. So we've got five more rounds to go. All right. Let's talk about the third round. Now we're getting to that wider cone of uncertainty, right? It's getting kind of flipping a coin at this point. You don't know who's still on the board, really. You have some good ideas, though. So what are you looking at, Riz?
I think this is a great time to get a defensive back. And the guy I want is Akello Witherspoon from Colorado. I've been a big fan of his. I watched him play at Michigan this past year. He was great. He gets overshadowed because his strong safety led the nation in interceptions, or free safety, Tedrick Thompson, who's a guy who would also fit at this point and will probably be there. He's a good one. I know a lot of Lions fans are against this because I floated it on Twitter. I would love to take Sidney Jones here if he's still there, knowing that I'm not going to have him in 2017 because he tore his Achilles at his pro day. Okay. He was a top 10 talent before that happened. If you can get that here, you can wait a year for that. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That seems like it'd be just fine to hold out a little bit for that kind of talent. And it would probably fit well in when you look at the contract schedule that the Lions are riding. I think that would fit pretty well right there, too.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. See, now you guys are thinking, you're thinking beyond just like what's right in front of your face. You've already progressed beyond Tom Lewan level. Congratulations.
There we go.
We're up to Mayhew. Oh, boy.
Hey, Mayhew was an interesting. I've been talking back and forth with some San Francisco people, and they're like, most people hate him, right? And I'm like, well, I mean, he was better than Matt Millen, so
polarizing, but
yeah,
people who stick up for him, myself included. I've stuck up for him on many occasions. I don't want him back.
Loser.
Yeah. God, God no. No.
Yeah. I just think his misses were bigger. He did learn over time, but he learned on the back of my heart, and I don't want to have to teach a guy like that with this team. It's been too long. We need someone. So far, I've been behind Quinn and his moves. He's continued to build credibility. I hated to have to watch Mayhew learn after the abuse we took at with Millen. So he didn't get an easy pass to start with.
No, he did not. Now this is also a range third round. Real quick, I'll just give you a couple other positions that could happen. Defensive tackle could happen. Larry Ogunjobi out of Charlotte is a possibility. Jaleel Johnson out of Iowa is a possibility. If they haven't, for some reason, taken a linebacker yet, Duke Riley from LSU, I actually think he's in play in the second round. I should have mentioned him there, especially if they don't have one in the first round. That guy, he only started for 1 year. He was a lot better than the guys who've been hyped there before him. He's a rising player. That's the guy you want on your team. I know some people are going to talk about Obi Malifonwu at safety, and this is probably the range he's going to go. I don't think he's a first-round pick anymore. The feedback that I got from near unanimous was like he's going in the 40s and 50s. I think that he's falling for the same reason why the Lions would pass on him, and that his game tape just doesn't equate to what he's built up to be as an athlete. There are other guys who are much better football players who are close athletically that I think he's going to be one of those guys that, you know, he was in the 20s and a lot of mock drafts, mine included, and we're going to see him in the middle of day two and wondering what happened. So having said that, he's going to go 12. There you go.
Is there any chance that
how this works?
Yeah. Is there any chance that Caleb Brantley falls into the third?
I think he's undrafted. After what he did, just got another. He got a domestic violence thing.
Yeah,
he has admitted that he is lazy and takes plays off where he's not asked to rush the passer.
Yeah,
that's don't do that.
Is there something wrong with that?
That's worse than barely. Malik McDowell saying that he didn't like his coaches and he didn't listen to them. You can sort of justify. You feel like they're not using you right and you're going to try to do your own thing to make plays. That's not good either. But that's what Malik McDowell did. And it shows. I don't think he's in play either for the Lions. I think they are in agreement with the overwhelming consensus of people who cover Michigan State that he can be really good, but you got to get him the hell away from this area. Send him to Los Angeles or Arizona or Tampa or someplace like that. I don't think he's going to get picked either. I know Spartan fans would die if he's not, if he's still on the board in the 50s and then the Lions pass on him. They're going to be, come on. Well, there's method behind that madness too.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing we didn't hear, Riz, was a whole lot of quarterbacks in your chat here. What's going on, man?
Okay, so I professionally cover the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans. My life is quarterbacks right now. I'm actually editing a piece where one of my writers is advocating that the Texans give up the number 25 pick for AJ McCarron. That when you have the quarterback thirst, it dominates everything. There is nothing else matters.
God, McCarron was mirage in the awful. Thirst. McCarron had the Fitzpatrick in the one good year he had with the Jets effect. He watching the Bengals highlights from and I mean Andy Dalton isn't an amazing quarterback, but no, watching the difference in even just watching their highlights from the season he played. you can see a complete difference in the in those style of catches that are being made by what they had at the time, you know, an elite receiving core. When Andy Dalton's out there, they're catching things in stride and making plays after the catch. When McCarron's in there, they're you know, having to dive out of bounds with toe tapping, you know, like outstretched on every single catch. So
it's nuts. And that's not going to happen, by the way. But the thought is out there, and Cincinnati is actively shopping him. I've got Browns fans that want to give up. Oh, what do they want to give up? They want to give up 12, 33, 65, and the first and second next year for Jimmy Garoppolo, who isn't any better than A.J. McCarron.
My God.
That tells you,
yeah, that
okay,
first is real.
So I cover these teams, and as I said on a podcast yesterday, I cover a team where they're going to pay Matthew Stafford $150 million this summer, and I'm going to be damn glad they do it.
Yeah. For sure.
I can see a day three late quarterback. I don't think, but Rudock is going to get some competition, or at least somebody to hold the clipboard for him behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Whether it's seventh round. They actually do like the kid from Louisiana Tech, Ryan Higgins. That's completely under the radar, and I think he's more undrafted. But seventh round, if he's there, I could see that happening.
Sure thing. All right, Riz, man, thanks for all the time. Good stuff. Really good stuff. And folks, don't forget, Riz will join us for the draft party on Thursday, and we're going to go through this first round and see how this all breaks down and how close he is to being either a drug user or right.
That's right. Hey, can I give a quick plug on that?
Yeah, for
sure. I will be on the air live from Kalamazoo. The library in Kalamazoo is right by... on Michigan Ave, right by where the football stadium, actually between the football and the basketball stadium, if I remember correctly. I'll be on the air doing a live show from 3 to 7 there, and I'm hanging out afterwards. I will be doing this show from there, hopefully sober. Hopefully, if you're in the area, if you're within anywhere in the Kalamazoo, West Michigan, 616 area, 231-269, come on down.
Stay
from
the
517. Yeah,
he's going to be driving.
If somebody wants to drive me back to Zealand at about 11:30 that night, even better. I may or may not pay for your bar tab. But yeah, please listen in the 96.1 in Grand Rapids and on WDFN in Detroit. It's simulcast on there. We're going to have a lot of fun. I got a couple of good national draft guests on it. It's going to be a fun time. Please check it out. Listen to that instead of watching the NFL Network for the 37th hour in a row.
Awesome, Riz. Thank you, my man. Have a good one, and we'll catch you soon.
For a different kind of breakdown with today's special guest.
All right, we're joined by a very special guest, Kent Platt. He's a staff writer at Pride of Detroit. He's also creator of the Relative Athletic Score metric, and it's housed at relativeathleticscores.com. This is an awesome system that you can use to look at and compare upcoming talent in this year's draft and players that have been through the draft in years prior. Kent, man, thanks so much for joining us. Glad to have you on the show.
Great for you guys to have me.
In your own explanation as the creator and, you know, the true, you know, mastermind behind the system, what is it?
So I created the relative athletic score system to put player measurements on a 0 to 10 system, something that was easy to understand. To compare measurements against their position group, to put context on what those measurements mean. You can call somebody a 4 or 5 guy all day, but that doesn't really mean anything without knowing what position he plays and whether or not that score is any good.
Sure.
So what the system does is it takes every player measurement, it rates it on a 0 to 10 scale against their position group. So 5 would be average, 0 would be bad, the worst mark you could possibly get, a 10 would be the best score ever. It's fairly simple. The context is right there in the score. It's 10 combine measurements. They come together to form an average. The average is then also scored against all of the averages for every player at that position group. And that gives you your final RAS score for a guy, which is just a way of looking at overall athleticism on a 0 to 10 scale.
For an example, just so people have some context here, Marcus Mariota had a 9.9 RAS as a quarterback. Now, again, this is just the athletic scores. This isn't, you know, how well he throws the ball necessarily, or how good he is at, in terms of accuracy or that kind of thing. It's just the, you know, how fast he is at the various drills and things like that. And it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, knowing, you know, what Marcus Mariota came in the league doing, that he scored a 9.9 there compared exactly. to the rest of the quarterbacks.
Exactly. And there's some surprising ones where you'd be like, I can't even believe, like who was the, quarterback, Josh McCown was one of the highest rated athletes in the past 20 years at quarterback. No one would ever have guessed, you know, nobody would ever have guessed that Josh McCown would be right there. He's number two right behind Cam Newton.
Sure.
Wow. So when you look at this, and you've got a whole number of different measurements here, you got height, weight, 40 time, the 20 split, the 10 split, their bench, their vertical, their broad, their shuttle, and their three cone. And that's the big measurements you're using to put this together. How are you seeing these relate to performance on the field? Do you see a statistical significance here? Or, I mean, how deep have you gone into kind of relating these things? And then I guess the follow-up question is, have you ever kind of measured against some of the other scorekeepers out there, like PFF or some of the other guys who have their own, you know, I don't think there's any perfect method. And I think you'll admit that pretty clearly. But this is a really interesting and cool way of doing it. I'm just wondering how it links to some of the performance we're seeing out of some of the players.
Yeah, and when I first started doing it, that wasn't really the goal. But pretty early on, I started to see that the trends were very clear at some positions: defensive end, defensive tackle, offensive tackle. Those positions are extremely athletic dependent, and you really see that with something like Raz. It shows up almost immediately when you start looking at it. I started out using Pro Bowls just because it's an easy measurement to use. Mm-hmm. Pro Bowls, more than half of the Pro Bowl defensive ends or defensive tackles didn't just rate above average on this metric. They rated above 8. So 8 out of 10, sure. More than half the Pro Bowls measured. More than 75% of Pro Bowlers in general for all positions scored above 5, above average in this metric. So it does correlate at least in some way to mm-hmm. NFL success.
Sure.
I've looked at some statistical measurements too. Sacks was the first one that I looked at for defensive ends and tackles. It's even more glaring when you start looking at something like sacks, for the type of athleticism that guys generally have.
Yeah.
I've looked at yardage for receivers and running backs, and all that data is going to be posted up on the site. You know, the only actual research I have posted right now is on draft position, which I don't think that would be a surprise to anybody that the big athletic guys tend to get drafted higher.
Yeah, and we've seen it. I mean, when like Ziggy Ansah was, I don't want to say purely, but he was, the majority of the reason he was picked was strictly his athleticism and his top end ceiling. It wasn't because he was a highly polished football player. So there, you know, I don't by any stretch mean to kind of diminish this, because these are some very key pieces for some particular positions. I saw Christian McCaffrey.
For reference, he scores a 9.6.
Yeah.
Yep.
Event.
And you look at like Christian McCaffrey, who's got an 8.09, almost 8.1. And he looks like this year he's going to be a pretty big hit. He just seems to be an amazing talent. And just from what you can see, his production in college, that Raz seems to bear out pretty well.
It does, and it depends on the type of usage that you're getting out of a guy. You know, for a running back, if you have that shifty, you know, zone running type guys, generally tend to have higher scores. Those are the kind of guys that are going to score really high on this system, and those tend to be the guys in today's NFL that find success. You know, those big power backs, that's been a knock on Leonard Fournette, even though he's a good athlete in his own right. That's been a big knock on him, that big, you know, bruising running back, that type isn't really used as much in the NFL anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just the usage isn't quite there. But a lot of the outliers for things like running back, they tend to be those type of guys, the big bruisers like LeGarrette Blount, who didn't, I think he scored a 3.3 or something like that, or a lower score. But those are the type of guys that tend to score low on my scale, are the guys that you wouldn't think would be great athletes from a measurement standpoint anyway. You'd expect them to be big, slow bruisers.
So, you know, I'm looking at a player from the Lions last year, and I look at his Raz, and this is really interesting when I think about it, because A'shaun Robinson, I was super, super high on him, and I thought he was a massive steal in round two. I thought he was a round one talent. But on the field, he played well. He wasn't a disappointment or a bust by any stretch of the imagination, but he wasn't the impact player that kind of thought he would be. He just was more like a hole stuffer. And you look at his Raz, and he's I mean, just a tenth below a, or 100th below a 3.0 score. And it's like, wow, that may well be indicative of why he's kind of filling holes. Now, we'll see.
He's not busting through the pocket.
Exactly.
Right.
He's not playing that big athletic game. He's playing a different kind of game. So it is. I mean, there's definitely some good correlations here just from the experiences that I've had and things that I'm seeing on some of these things.
Also of note to us Lions fans, Jerod Davis looks pretty good. We were talking about him, obviously, as a potential pick for the Lions in the first round. He did pretty well on the RAS, so just for reference.
Yeah, almost 8.75. The guy scored really well. It likes athletic types: big, fast, strong, explosive. Mm-hmm. He had a horrible score in one of the most important measurements, was his three cone. But you can't. I mean, it's one of those things that you can look at an individual measurement and you can tear anybody down in the NFL if you really want to.
Yeah.
Which is why I really like the way that Raz is kind of shaped out, because it gives you a general view, a relative, in a different way, a relative view of somebody's athleticism, and not just looking at one in particular measurement. Most of the time it's 40 time. That's the one that people like to really dig and tear apart. Mm-hmm. That's why Joey Bosa supposedly had question marks last year about his athleticism. And that just made me laugh, because by this point I'd already had the system built out. And he was a star in my system. He was well over 80. I think he's 8.37, something like that. So he had a great score, but his 40 time was just a little bit below average. And people were like, no, he's got athleticism concerns. We can't touch him.
Yeah.
But his three cone was a 6.89, which would have been good for a corner or a receiver or a running back. And he's a 270-pound defensive end.
Yep. I'm looking, I look at Minnesota and I look at Laquan Treadwell and he's a 204. that was certainly indicative, but even funnier and even, I think, more indicative, I look at Laremy Tunsil and it's just grayed out like smoke.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate for him, because you have to meet a minimum threshold of six measurements to even qualify for RAS, because we don't want to put in guys that just have like a height and weight, like they're big and they're going to get like a 9 or something because they're tall and fat. You know, we don't want to do that. So I put a minimum of six measurements on it, and Tunsil unfortunately didn't make it. It could have went either way. I think he was leaning more towards an elite athlete type, but he didn't qualify. And sometimes you have guys that you expect to score well who don't quite make it. Like Ronnie Stanley last year, he qualified for a score, but he skipped out on a couple of drills, and I expected him to do a little bit better than he ultimately ended up doing. But that's just what happens. Sometimes guys just don't measure. You know, Leonard Fournette has a better score than I think he would have because he skipped out on his agility drills.
Absolutely. So talk a little bit about, because I mean, this is as you roll through these players, you just see. I mean, it's easy to kind of project how they're. Oh yeah, this one was good, and he turned out well, right? You can look through and see all these things, and they really show up, and you kind of get a little bit of a confirmation bias. But everything I see with this relativeathleticscores.com. And the rankings you have are pretty well correlated to the way the players have kind of performed. Tell me a little bit about the thinking, like along the way you built this system and this scoring up, and you probably started with a hypothesis and then changed it a bunch of times along the way. Can you talk about some of the things that caused you to make changes and realign where you were headed with it?
Oh yeah, people broke my score a lot all together. Byron Jones just wrecked my original calculations that I had. The original calculations were much more complex. They were very complicated calculations that use standard deviation and a bunch of other mathematical concepts to give me this score that would show up from a 0 to 10 scale. And back then I thought it was the greatest thing, but there was a lot of flaws with it that I didn't really see yet. Mm-hmm. And then when Byron Jones came along and just destroyed the broad jump metric for cornerbacks at the time, I think he was what, 6 or 7 inches or something like that above the next highest score. Mm-hmm. It caused such a huge shift in my measurements that I had to think of a new way to approach it, a way that didn't use those type of complicated calculations. So I simplified the calculations quite a bit, and I made it into a much simpler system that uses rankings, and it doesn't use any standard deviation. It doesn't use any averages except for that final. The final score is based on an average, but it doesn't use averages for all the individual ones. It still builds out that 0 to 10 score. And it's really started to shape out much cleaner and much more uniform. And ultimately, when I was looking at the research portion of it, looking at how it is correlated to success and things like that, it started to shape out a lot better doing it that way than the original way that I had done it. Mm-hmm. I didn't build the metric to chart those trends. I didn't build it to find how guys had become successful in the NFL. But once you're able to put a number on something and say, this is a score that I can give this guy based on athleticism, you can start to chart things out. And guys have done that in the past with Spark. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys follow Ethan Young on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He does his Slate measurements that he started doing. That's relatively new.
Yep.
But you put a number on something and you can start to chart those trends. The thing about RAS that makes it a bit unique is that it's very user friendly. It's a 0 to 10 scale. It's understandable. The context is right there in the score. There's more context when you want to dig into those individual scores. You can look at a guy who has a low score, like an A'shaun Robinson you had mentioned. Nose tackles don't really correlate in the same way with RAS. You don't have to be some supreme athlete to succeed as a nose tackle type in the NFL.
Sure. Right.
But that's when you start to dig deeper into the scores. On the surface, if you're looking for a guy that's going to be a household name and a yearly All-Pro Pro Bowler type, it's probably going to be a pass rusher.
Right.
Whether it's a defensive tackle or an end, it's probably going to be a pass rusher. And those guys tend to score really well.
For sure, for sure. All right, guys, relativeathleticscores.com. Check it out, man. And this has got to be part of your toolkit. When you're building out your mocks and when you're looking at players, and even as the draft's going on, it's a great way to go back, look at some of the players and see how they rank as you start thinking about how they're going to fit into your team and your team's performance. Really good stuff. Now I want to move on a little bit here to another line of thinking aside the scores, but I know, you know, you kind of live in these things and they help kind of inform you in a lot of your thinking. Let's talk about the Lions and the draft and what do you see happening in that first round for the team? What's your prediction?
You know, Bob Quinn has mentioned before that he wants to get fat faster. He wants to get more athletic. We've been talking about it for a year now, about the type of players that Bob Quinn has been looking at. Last year, his big approach was the offensive line. The Detroit Lions offensive line was the least athletic in the NFL for 2015. And ultimately, it still was in 2016, even though they had added some nicer pieces to it. That's no longer the case. Bob Quinn made sure to add athletic pieces like Taylor Decker and Joe Dahl and Graham Glasgow. All were way more athletic than the guys the Lions were using before. I think that's going to continue to be a trend at each position. I think you're going to start to see that now. They're going to start filling out the defense. You're going to see bigger, faster, and athletic guys. The type of players that they've been looking at have all fit that kind of mold. For example, cornerbacks. The Lions have only met with two types of cornerbacks. They've either been... But actually three. They've either been big, they've been extremely athletic, which is like an 8 or higher on my scale, or they've been both of those things. And that's the only types of cornerbacks the Lions have met with. Martin Mayhew, when he was general manager, met with all kinds of different types for different individual roles for his coaching staff. Bob Quinn has a very specific type that he likes to look at, which is big and athletic. Fast guys that he wants to put out there. Mm-hmm. So that's really one of the first things that I look at when they're looking at players is why would they be looking at this guy? What are the things that this guy does from an athletic standpoint that would actually help and benefit this team? And then you go look at the tape and you see if it lines up with that type of athleticism. If that's what you see on tape. Oftentimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. And then you just kind of figure out why, whether it's something that the guy needs to clean up with his technique or whether it's something that can be coached, or maybe you're just not that good at evaluating that position.
Excellent. So who's your pick? Who's the guy that you got your thumb on for the Lions at 21?
You know, I did my latest mock draft was last week, and the guy that I picked, and this isn't a humble brag anyway, but it's kind of aligning that way. This week, Jerod Davis from Florida, you mentioned him earlier, has been mocked to the Lions more than any other player in the past week. I think that he's a guy that they're going to be looking at very closely. He meets all that athleticism that they've been looking for. He's a cover linebacker. He should be in that range. I think he's going to be the pick if he's still on the board and Hassan Reddick is gone, which he ought to be.
Yeah, same pick the Case had, and it was the same one that Riz had. So we've got a threesome looking at Jerod Davis for the Lions at 21. That's interesting. Kent, I really appreciate you coming on the show and spending some time with us, man. This relativeathleticscores.com This stuff is really cool. This is a really good informational tool. And you know, one thing we've always said, I mean, look, we've knocked on PFF because often they're cited as almost biblical in their ability to protect Correct. Player stuff. And then, you know, there's nobody that can do this, but you definitely have a quality tool that can inform people's decisions and help them move forward in looking at what's going on with these players. So that's really awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. Guys, check him out. He's on Twitter at MathBomb, and it's just like it sounds, MathBomb. Kent Platt from Pride of Detroit and creator of the Raz Metric. Thanks a lot for joining us, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for this week. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Your feedback is what makes this show what it is. We've got that great feedback in the subreddit from Honolulu Blue Balls that we mentioned in This Week in Reddit. And, you know, number one Detroit Lions podcast, and it's because of you guys. So don't be shy with that feedback and help us continue this role at the top. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. You can set up a monthly donation that helps us out, helps pay for a lot of the added costs and stuff that we're doing here. Or there's also a one-time donation link that you can hit us up via PayPal. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and follow us on Twitter. A lot of hot action there on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast. That's at DETLionsPodcast. It's the best place to see Case
with no pants on.
All right, don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or you can give us a call and leave us a voice message at 929-33-LIONS. That's the Lions line, 929-335-4667. Leave us a good message. Get a chance to hear yourself on the show. And don't forget to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that subscribe link to subscribe to the podcast. It'll let Case and I come in your little box automatically. Who wouldn't want that? Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions!